Welcome to Soul Busy.
I'm Reach.
And I'm Carly,
your CEO
and COO
sisters.
We share unfiltered convo on balancing hustle with mindfulness
while running successful businesses with soul
and the real life between it all. Mian LaValle is an award-winning, top in Massachusetts buyer and seller real estate agent and a senior partner with the Wilson Group. She's a mama to three and a very successful, well-known agent in the Boston area who's an expert at her field and juggles a lot with grace and always humor. She's personally helped Carly and I sell and buy our homes, and she is a friend who we love and admire and a real estate goddess, mogul, genius. Welcome, Mian.
It's not true.
Thank you.
Very true. Very true.
What a gorgeous intro.
I mean, you are award-winning.
Wow. I loved that.
Impressive.
I feel like I want to come here every day.
I feel like you're pretty humble for like how talented you
She's
are at real estate.
Not. She's definitely no, I mean, like, that you is a know,
okay,
lie.
You know you're good. You're confident as fuck.
I'm good.
But you're humble. Like you really are successful.
I
mean, shit.
No, I have like literally switched people's real estate agents to me on while they were using them, being like, she's really funny.
Well, you know what?
She's really
she's
funny.
Really funny. You know what's funny? I'm good, but I'm not the best. And that's, I think, the way everyone should think, right? Oh, you're good, but there's plenty
of room. I
feel
you're the best.
There's plenty of room. I mean, I can always be better, but I'm pretty
good. I appreciate the not the best vibe. Yeah. I appreciate the vibe.
There's always room for growth.
There's always growth
room mindset.
For growth.
We're living.
Yes.
When I recommend you to people, what I say is if you want the house, hire her.
That's right.
If you want to be a browsing girly, don't hire her.
Please don't.
You know what I mean? Like, so like I know when to refer you. Like, it's like you're the finish line, bitch. You're like, you want this? I know what the fuck to do.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't know that they're needing to be at the finish line yet. So to your point, it's like, you got to know where you are in this.
It's a process.
Buying a house is a big deal. Mm. And I'd never want to drag somebody to any finish line. Right. Yeah. So I really love your qualifying them because it really helps them decide if they are ready to get in. Because if you want to buy a house, we can do it.
Right.
These are the steps.
You can make it happen.
You can make it happen, but you got to participate.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, totally. That's been my experience with you. Like you make shit happen. I will never forget the first house I ever bought. It was like super competitive, like 25 offers. You literally got in before the open house.
Snuck in.
You were like, this is the offer. Go.
Yep.
One of the best investments of my life. I'm so grateful. But like you just make shit happen. So we're going to talk about how you do that. I think we need some tips and tricks.
But you need that though, because you're in a saturated industry. Yes. There's a lot of real estate agents.
I don't envy you. It's
that's a hard.
Everybody's an agent, right? Everybody knows an agent. Right. Everybody's cousins, brothers, sisters, mother is an agent.
Right. Mm. Totally. But it's an art. Just it like is. Anything.
That's right.
It's an art form. You have to know how to do it and do it well.
I mean, you guys are in the same and similar, right? Everybody has a stylist that they love.
Or everyone can do a balayage.
Right. So what sets you apart?
Right.
And obviously you guys have 100% cornered that.
For us, we say experience. Mm-hmm. Like that you can go anywhere to get a balayage, but like we care the most. We love you the most. We want every single aspect, all of your senses to be invigorated when you come
touched.
To this space.
But
the customer experience or the client experience is like something we've been trying to, as a team, really hone in on over the past few years. And honestly, it's something I've been doing just in general behind the scenes. But now when you put it at the forefront of what you do, everything is important from
Agreed.
How you answer, when you answer, how they feel when they leave a showing to an inspection, to a closing. It should not just be completion of the transaction.
Right.
Agreed. No, I love it though. Cause you like sent me random things where I was like, how the fuck did she know it was my anniversary today?
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, how did she know my birthday? Like,
I hate that for you. Like that would be awful.
That's
like,
a hard part of
your
process.
I'm sure you have it automated.
It's a lot of CRM. It's a lot of customer relationship management systems. And there's obviously help. I'm good at certain things and certain things I'm not good at. And for that I have to leverage and outsource.
Oh, delegate to elevate, bitch. Let's go.
You got it. Mm. You get it. And at the end of the day, I only do the things that I would like.
Unique
I
ability.
Like gifts.
She's
I like
living
remembering.
In her unique ability. Yeah. She's thriving.
So I'm going to only give you what I would also like to receive.
That.
And everywhere I go from traveling or, you know, anything, I take what I hated and loved about whatever I just did and try to do it in my business.
Same. Agreed. That's why I like to go to hotels that
no,
I aspire to because I study them.
Yes. Rachel will go to a hotel.
I study them.
And I know she's either reading a book or at a hotel because she'll be like, this playlist.
Yes.
We're playing this playlist.
I'm inspired
every single time.
In those environments.
Smell? Why does it smell this good
oh,
in the
I've
hallway?
Literally,
in the lobby?
I have the smell in parlor now because of the amount of lobbies I've gone to.
Or right when you check in, when the GM texts you or calls and says, hey, Mrs. Lally, I just wanted to check in, see how your check-in was. Like, how's it going? You're going, what?
Chef's kiss. How? See, the first thing my mind goes to is what is the process in which that call arrived to me? Correct. Like, I'm like, who was in a meeting
that said
this is what needs to happen? I also think about that with commercials. It's like a weird thing. It's completely off topic. But like when a commercial's on, it's like a really weird topic of the commercial. I'm like, who marketing sat in a meeting and said it out
marketing
loud? No, I know marketing, but someone had to say out loud, like, let's have that worm say this to that lizard. You know what I mean? Like those weird topics. Like somebody has to say it out loud.
It's interesting. All right,
I'm going to reel us back in. So, hey, you're really cool at what you do.
Thank you.
I would like you to like take the floor for a second. Like, tell us like the awards you've won. Like, I'd like to know some of your accolades, if you will. And I'd also like to know about like your current career.
So thank you. I'm honored, obviously, to be on you guys' couch. And I've always been a fan since we met a while ago, even over 10 years ago.
We met at the original space.
The original OG. Space.
What, just you two met?
Just us.
Yeah, Mian came in from Yelp. Mm-hmm. She found us on Yelp and she wanted a blowout.
That's
it. And she came all the way through the building, like when we had the parking lot in the, you know, the back and walked through and came up the stairs. And she's like, hi, I'm Mian. I'm like, hi, I love you. Like, who are you? You're great. And then the rest is history.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite part of Rachel when I first met her was that she was looking insane because she had a bunch of foils in her hair and she was just sitting next to me.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, and then she came over to me and said, can I get you something to drink or do you want something to drink? And I was like,
oh yeah, that was a bad phase of my life.
I go, no, because I'm like, why are you asking me for something to drink?
She's like, I work here. Also
get, and then later, 5 minutes later, she's like, oh, I'm sorry. I just realized my staff didn't tell you. I work here. I like own this place. I'm sorry. Like, I'm Rachel. I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay.
I had to stop doing that because there was a portion of time. Because you have to understand, but my perspective, I only had clients that I knew for so long. So like to have people come in from Yelp was weird to me.
Sure.
So I was like, oh, like, let me service the client. But like, I'm a psycho. You know, like people don't know who I am.
I just immediately was like, I just love that it doesn't matter who's in charge here. She's working.
You liked the service.
I liked the hustle. I'm just attracted to people who
It's so
want
sexually attractive.
To be awesome.
100%.
I love that.
If you don't want to be great, I kind of don't want to be
like
around
if you're making
you.
Excuses, agreed. Like get the fuck away from me. 100%. We have the same personality in that way. I can't do it.
No bullshit.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
So who are you?
So, I'm busy. I'm so busy.
Yeah, she is, motherfuckers.
I'm a mom of three. I'm 42 and a half. I am a senior partner at the Wilson Group in Keller Williams at Chestnut Hill, which is in Newton. And our team itself has been at the top of our game, I guess. We've won all the awards that I think we can win. I think we're number two in Massachusetts for medium teams. Just recently came out. I think we were number three. I sent them all to you. I can't recall. And I'm sorry. I don't know all of them.
You can recall.
That's
I don't know
some
all
shit,
of them.
Though. That's really impressive.
And I know.
And you're a top producer.
I'm the top producer on my team.
The top producer on the team.
On the team.
10 years.
Over 10 years. Yeah. And I'm grateful. And you have to start fresh every year. You know, every year your numbers go to zero. Mm. So it's not like
I
get to carry on.
Wow, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I got to start fresh.
So that's crazy.
It's very Janet Jackson. What have you done for me lately?
Bum-ba-dum. Keep going. Ooh, I don't know that song.
Yeah.
Did you always want to be a real estate agent?
No, I wanted to be in advertising.
Really?
Really?
So what happened?
So I wanted to move to New York City right after college and work at BBDO, which was a great big advertising firm back then. And I wanted to live in a 300 square foot studio with my best friend who was gay. And we were just going to live our lives and just
so
eat ramen.
Sex in the City. You wanted to be Carrie Bradshaw with Stanford.
Probably more Samantha, but yeah.
Understood. Sure. You wanted to be a whore sure. in New York City.
I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it.
It's a,
I was okay
it's a nice
about
life.
It.
We love Samantha.
Yeah. I
honestly fucking love Samantha.
I love her too.
I think she's
living
so funny.
In her root chakra.
And I think, and so I don't think what ended up happening is I met my first husband and he was like good enough to stay back, if you will. You know, I basically paused all of my plans to, you know, do what he wanted to do. And he was, he was finishing up school and got a job about 20 minutes away from our school, which is in Southwestern Virginia. So I switched the big city to the country.
That is the most surprising thing I've learned about you since I've known you.
So it's like the Carrie Bradshaw episode when she follows Aiden to the country and
she's like,
with
get
the
me
squirrel.
Out of here.
Yeah.
Or when she goes with the Russian guy and she's like, and she's in a mess. You know, like you can pick
Alexander
yourself up.
Alexander Petrovsky.
You can pick yourself up. And this has happened to me a couple times in my life and put yourself in a different location in hopes that you will be better or happier, and that's just not the
case. Oh, that is not the case.
And it's a lesson I learned.
That is right. That's actually a really nice lesson.
Never regret it.
You don't, life doesn't change when you change your environment. Geographically. You can change, geographically.
Correct.
Interesting for a real estate agent to say that.
100%. And I say that also in my business too, because if they're like, well, what if this is wrong? Well, then we just sell.
Right.
Right? It's okay. People make decisions that didn't work for them in the moment or in next year, and we just pivot. We'll sell. We'll rent it. We'll get you back what you need to. But
yeah,
it's nothing as permanent if you don't want it to be. You can always start again.
Yeah.
I've had to do it a few times. So that's what happened there. And I ended up staying in the Northern Virginia area. We got married. We had two children, Sophia and Stella. And I, at 29, had two children and was in a two-car garage side load in a cul-de-sac working for a new home builder by then that I'd also been crushing it with. And I just kind of woke up and had a midlife crisis at 29, which was bizarre because I felt like I'd lived so many lives already. And I was like, is this all my life is going to be? Like, everyone else would be so grateful to have this life. Two healthy babies, really nice, beautiful new house, a thriving career. I just felt very unfulfilled. Mm. And it was tough because no one else knew how to help me.
And well, it's like an itch that only you can like understand or like try to
scratch. I respect that though, because I feel like how many people would sit in the same place and be where they are and be happy.
And be happy. And everything everyone was telling me was, what are you not happy about? What are you upset about? And I was like, I couldn't give them an answer. I just knew that I think I wanted more. And so it's
that doesn't even just mean career though.
No.
That's like understanding how you feel in your soul, which we talk about a lot. Like, do you have the clarity to understand what is not right for you? You know what I mean? It's not to say that that life wasn't lovely. It's just, what's the end goal?
Exactly. And making both of those ideas make sense to me was really hard. It was a journey. It was like, you can be grateful and happy in what you have and not, but also want more for yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the scary part is saying, I know what I have with you. And like to my ex, there wasn't a big fallout. They're like, it wasn't like somebody did anything to anybody. It just wasn't
sparky.
We weren't each other's person. And I remember saying to him, and I've told the story before, so he's okay with it, that, I said, what if we're just not each other's person? And there's no regrets, because if I didn't meet you, I would never have my children who I love and adore. So everything works out for a reason. But he's like, well, what if we're not? That's okay too. And I said, well, that's how I know you're not my person.
Right.
Because I need someone to think that they're my person.
Right. Like,
there's no other
like
person.
Like, if there's a chance that you could live without me, then you're not the one for me.
Was he not like passionate about things?
He's just, he's actually perfect in many, many ways. He's very even. He doesn't go up or down either way. He was a great cook. He took care of the house. There was really nothing. That's the thing.
You're bored.
People were just like, I can't believe. I'm like, I know. But
well, no, there's also just soul's purpose. You were convicted by something you didn't know what you were convicted by, but you just wanted something else. That's allowed.
So what happened?
We moved. So in an effort to kind of figure things out, he said, let's move to LA. Your best friend, Christina, lives in LA. Again, let's move us. You'll be happier when you're closer to her.
Right.
I could sell anywhere.
Did you do that?
Yeah.
You moved to LA?
Yes, I did.
I hate LA.
What?
For six months.
Hold on. Keep going. You moved there for 6 months and then what?
And I said, so thanks. We're done. And he was like, I can't believe, you're doing this. And it was not a nice thing initially, because he was trying his best.
Obviously, yeah.
And my kids were, 3 and 18 months.
Ooh,
so they were little. So when I'm making these decisions, everything in me is wanting to not make this decision.
Of course.
Because actually what we've got is a really lovely little life. And what am I doing?
Interesting.
You know,
I love this. You're shaking it up.
So there was, when you talk about like, how did you get here? And like, I was thinking about that. It's like, I had to really bet on myself a lot.
And you believed in yourself.
And there was no other choice. So I think when you take away the option of failing, you really will succeed.
Yeah.
There was no other choice.
That was a nice little quote.
Boston?
Yeah. Love that.
Why Boston?
So all I said was, I just want my children in my name and I'll take all the debt and I want to go back home. So I moved back to D.C. He stayed in California because he had a really good job. He lives there still.
You grew up in D.C.?
Yep, right outside D.C. He's still there. He's remarried. I love her. They're always over at our house. He visits the kids 5 to 8 times a year easily.
That's nice.
On the East Coast. Him and my current husband, Jeff, are best friends, bizarrely. Weirdly.
Super weird.
I like it.
Really weird. We are capital P progressive. But I say it is the one good thing I've done, that my kids really, till they were like in fifth or sixth grade, did not know a divorce. They didn't think it was a nasty word. They were like, my parents are divorced. Aren't yours? Like, they thought it was
normal.
Oh,
that's really nice.
I really like that perspective.
That means you handled it really well.
And we all got on the same page really quick, whenever I met Jeff. After we all were decided, okay, this is who our group is and this is who is raising these children.
Yeah.
We all had one common goal, which was their happiness, you know? And so nobody could text one and get a different answer than the other. Nobody was allowed to, you know, Sophie wants to stay out later. What am I supposed to say? Those were the combos that we were having. So we were all a united front.
Page. Smart.
But no, I mean, ultimately, I went back home and I said, I'm a single mom. I'm going to start again. So, I mean, a lot of my success is just being comfortable with starting again. It really, really is, if I really boil it down. And so when I talk to my kids and they're talking about the worst things that could happen, I'm like, I do the and what thing, which is what one of my therapists
said. That's what
my
mom does. And
what?
Never.
And then what?
No.
And then what?
Honestly,
you follow it all the way down until it doesn't happen.
Right. That exactly. Parenting tip
take it away.
Is the best parenting tip that my mom has done for me and also my dad. Because literally, I love that answer because it's like, there's no answer.
Correct.
And the no answer really makes me feel like, okay, nothing fucking matters. It could happen. It could not happen. And it doesn't matter.
Right.
I love that.
Just is.
It just is.
Just is. And I love so, that. And a lot of times when people are that freaked out or anxious or whatever, it's because they really don't know what to do and they want you to make the decision for them. Mm. Or they want some kind of proof that the decision that they're going to make is actually going to be right. But so much of our life is unknown. So you just got to do it.
So how'd you get into real estate then?
So before, you know, right when I got out of college, my mom said, well, since you're not going to New York City, I think you should really come and talk to this girl. They had just built a new house and they loved her. And I said, I'm not going to go talk to your the realtor that you work with. She's like, she's not a realtor. She works for a new home builder. So basically she sits in a beautiful model home. People come to her, they buy a lot, and then they build the different kinds of homes on the lots. And she's like, you know, she drives a BMW. And I said, okay, I'll talk to her. So I did. And she was really cool and normal. And she was like, yeah, I make X amount of money. And it was 3 to 4 times what I was making in my initial IT sales job, which I knew quickly I was not going to be good at because I need to sell something tangible. I can't sell an idea. Like the IT was infrastructure and all this other stuff. And I was like, I don't know what this is. So I think you can be a good salesperson, but not everything is a good, like you can't sell everything. I don't think that there's
you
a one size fit all.
About what you're selling.
And so she was like, yeah, you're going to have a much lower base salary. So I went from, I think, $40,000 a year to $25,000 a year in a base salary, but there was no limit on my bonuses depending on how many houses I sold.
Yeah.
So I remember talking to the person who was interviewing me at the time and I said, so let me get this straight. I'm going to get no matter what $25,000 a year, but I could sell 15 homes at whatever, $1,000 a bonus, and I can get an extra. They were like, yeah. And I said, oh, this is amazing. They don't know me. I'm going to sell the shit.
You
out of
had
these
the confidence in your back pocket to be like, oh, yeah, I'm off.
So that first year, I sold 50,000. I made 50,000, where my old job, I'd have made 40. You know what I mean? And so I just, every year I've made more. Every year I've been more. And I just felt like when I put myself in the driver's seat of how much I can make, AKA my work ethic or how much I want to turn on or how much I want to turn off, I feel a lot more apt to actually hit those goals. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I really resonate with that. I've never had a goal of like how much I want to make.
Right.
I don't think about that.
That's why I don't know what our accolades are because I'm just like my head's down and I'm working.
I would really like to just touch on that for a second because I think that that is probably one of the keys to our success is that our head is always down and working. I am never focused on the numbers, not in a negligent way, but in a way where it's like if I put 100% effort into everything I do, every single action, every minute, and I do it slowly, carefully, and with full intention, then I know it will come back.
100%.
So I'm never worried about that. You know what I mean? And then it comes.
Correct.
We've talked about that. I think that's a really important thing in
somebody's
career.
Well, I was going to say, though, different kind of industry. Does that ever make you anxious? Because like with the money that you're making, it's you have to physically go out and do it.
Oh, yeah.
So like when you come, it's not like a salary that's just given to you. It's different every time.
I mean, 100%. It's, you know, I have to also work through the filters of my youth, which is
my youth. This is a very Sex and the City episode. Do you know that episode?
No.
When what is his name? Is this Jared James?
I don't know who it is, but I know what you're talking about.
The Samantha's boyfriend, the young one,
oh,
the hot one.
Smith.
Thank you.
He is.
When he gets on stage and he's
ugly.
Doing the monologue and he's like, my youth.
I'm going to go back and look at that
Please.
One.
It's one of the best moments of all of it.
That's amazing.
And you just said it organically.
My youth. Because when I was growing up and the way I was raised, if you weren't doing something, you aren't worth it. You know what I mean? Like their productivity was attached to your work. And so if you weren't productive, what are you doing here? So I was never allowed to just be on the couch.
That's how your mom was.
That's how my mom was. That's how we were raised.
I'm glad you're going into that because I want to hear about your childhood.
Me too.
Yeah, and I know, and I have ADHD.
Oh, it's fine.
I'm
going to
bounce all the way around. I hope you guys. It's a journey.
I'll bring us back down.
But yeah, so I had to fight through the, if I'm not producing, I am not worthy or worth it. And that is very much tied into sales because you are only as good as how much you're producing. So you really have to backtrack on.
Understood.
Do you know what I'm saying? So if 1 year I don't make as much, it doesn't mean I didn't do my best and I'm not as good. It yeah. just means I chose other things instead. So for instance, 2 or 3 years ago, I stayed at what I made the year before, but I had way more vacations with my family. So to me, I won.
Right. I agree.
Oh, absolutely.
It's why I trade.
That's why it's never about money.
Correct.
It's just about presence.
It's about
which is so busy.
And how can I be better and get more?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I love that perspective.
Or delegate.
That is, I think, a rarer perspective though. Like I find the individuals that I tend to want to work with agree with that. We recently had, you know, situations where like people want like a certain salary to work here. And I'm not negotiating. Correct. Like it's like, this is the offer because I want a certain mentality of an individual that's going to work towards 100% effort and 100% gain from that effort. But if you're going to nickel and dime from the beginning, I already know we're not going to work the same way. You know 100%. What I mean?
But that's an old school thought in my head because I don't think people think like that
you
anymore.
Think so?
No, I'm saying I love that about us. I love that we think that. But like, I feel like with Gen Z, and we've talked about this previously, they come in wanting
they want everything X so fast,
so quick. It's just the world is a little bit different.
Yeah, imagine, I mean, you guys deal with it way more than I do, right? But the newer generations are, everything has been so fast for them. Everything has been so immediate.
Are so fast for them.
Correct. So they've never really had to figure it out and they've never had to wait in line. And they've never had to climb a ladder.
But this new thing is like, if you're pretty, you're on social media, you're influencing. And it's just like, that's like your.
Yeah, but that will have a ceiling break too. Not everyone can be influencing. You know what I mean? It's like.
There's so much influence.
It's all a bubble.
But then people forget how to hustle.
That's right.
Like, and that's the tough part.
I'd rather hustle and go slow and have my success be like over a span of 30 years than have immediate success and crash in 5 years.
Me too.
Don't care. Okay. About immediate success or fame.
Well, you clearly didn't either.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think what we all have is that we're not worried about how we're compared to others or where we are sitting in the line of the race. We're just worried about, are we finishing it? And are we, in my opinion, am I faster than last week's race? Whatever.
Even more micro than that, for me, it's about the day. Correct. Like I'm only ever focused on that day. What are my meetings? And like, what can I apply myself? How can I prepare? That's all I'm focused on. The end. And
tell
then
me
the next day
about your mom though, because you brought that up. Like, what was she like? What did she do? You're not close with your dad.
No. So my dad,
Rosa.
She's a dream and also a nightmare in one, which I'm sure a lot of people can relate to. But yes, so my mom raised me pretty much as a single mom. My dad and her divorced when I was really young, and I was very responsible very early on because I had to be, right? So a lot of the things that maybe the dad or another caretaker would do fell on me as I was a latchkey kid. I would come home right after school. I'd have to call her at work, you know, and tell her I was safe. You know, I mean, back in the day, it's so funny when I tell my kids some of these stories, they're like, what do you mean? Like,
it's
they
weird.
Just don't understand. Yeah. It makes me feel like I'm a Neanderthal. I'm so far away from where they are now. But like, yeah, I was bored all the time because I didn't have any siblings. And so I would just make up what I wanted to do. So I would stand in front of them. Everyone's like, you have such a great smile. You're I'm like, I practiced for years by myself in front of the mirror. So that
when I was bored, I would smile in the mirror.
Literally be like, how do I want to look? How do I want to smile?
It's really funny.
So like, what do you mean?
Did you play teacher with yourself?
I didn't play teacher, but I definitely played Star Search. And like I would, you know, back in the day when you'd have to like press two of the buttons on the little boom box to record because you didn't have the internet.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to hear that Whitney Houston song and they were like, okay, then after this commercial break, you're going to have the Whitney Houston. I'd be like ready to go. And then I'd press the two buttons and then I would be excited. Buttons.
I know that it's the red
and
it goes down like, and it gets stuck.
And I'd stop it.
I fully know.
But then I'd also, I think I got for Christmas one time, like a microphone. So then I would, while she was singing, I would sing and then I would listen to it back. And that's what I would do for hours. By the way, I'm a horrible singer.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm a horrible
singer. I don't see you as a good singer.
I mean, in my head, I think I'm good, but like, no.
I mean, in my head, I think I'm good too.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So yeah, so I had to make my happiness and my life and my excitement on my own. There wasn't anybody to do it for me. So I don't really get or care when people are like, I'm bored. I'm like, I don't know what you're saying to me. I don't compute. You know what I mean? Because it's never been bored. Never. Not once.
And your mom was like that too. Like if you went up to her and you were like, I'm bored, she'd be like, go find something to do.
Maybe would slap me. Yeah. She slapped me. Or be
was
like,
she strict?
Super strict. She would slap me or be like, well, then go clean something. You know, like before I could do anything as I got older, the entire house had to be cleaned every single day. We would have this annoying octagonal rug.
Octagonal?
Octagonal.
Isn't that a word? Octagonal.
No way. Octangle?
Octagonal.
It's an octagon. Octagonal. Fucking idiot.
Octagonal.
It is not a word. Octagonal.
Octagonal rug.
Triangle. What did you say?
I don't know.
Octangle?
Can we get somebody to confirm?
Leland, did she say? I'm going to talk to you from there now. Octagonal?
Octagonal?
Google it.
Octagonal? Did you Google it? Google it now.
Thank you, Leland.
I just want you guys all to know that listening, Leland stays in the room with us. She's the producer of this podcast, and she doesn't want me to talk to her during the podcast, so she exited the room, and I can just see the edge of her hair, and so I'm going to just talk to her from farther away.
Anywho, Leland, your mom cleaning the rug.
Octagonal?
Whatever. It doesn't matter. I don't care.
You're right. So anyways, this rug, I don't want to say the word. You know what I mean.
It's an octagon.
Had these kinds of things, but like on the edge.
It was a shag, if you will.
Correct. Well, it was normal in the middle and whatever. She wanted all those fuckers all perfectly strung, the tassels out. And I'm not kidding you. If they weren't, I wasn't able to go out and play or go out and do this or go out and whatever.
Wow, that's sad.
So there was craziness,
not
right?
Not sad. It shaped her.
Craziness. So now I have an immense attention to detail that makes other people crazy too. Right? So when I'm looking at a house for you, I'm seeing shit you would never see.
That
because
is true.
I'm insane.
You are. No one, it's a good quality though.
So there is something to be said about what you do and how you grew up, and you got to take the good, or maybe back then it wasn't good, but I'm transforming it to how it's good now.
Did your mom work?
All the time. So she was like a travel agent for a government agency.
Cool.
So basically she said to me, I'm going to take less money, but we're going to go on more trips. And I was like, that makes no sense. I want the coolest shoes. I want to go this, that, and the other. But actually it was an amazing deposit into my childhood because I saw things that my peers never saw.
That's amazing.
Right? Yeah. And back in the day, you know, there was buddy systems in terms of different, like Delta and United. And we would always fly first class. She would say, we have to dress up. You have to look the part. You can't go to first class with sweatpants.
I like her. I do too.
So I'd be like, ugh, and I'd have to dress up and I'd have to wear some stupid dress. But all of a sudden we'd be sitting in first class and we would have all kinds of fun sprites and different, you know, I'd have all kinds of fun
sprites.
Fun kind of drinks for me when I was like 12. And that's I was cool. Like, oh, okay, cool. So this is what you got to do.
First class at 12 is like a real moment.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. So, that's not what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah. I mean, listen, she's not all roses, but she did 100% the best she could with what she had. And we have made 100% peace on where I don't think she did amazing. And it has fueled me to be a little bit of her and a lot of bit of not her and more me with my kids.
I was going to ask you that.
Love that for you.
Yeah.
So it like really shaped who you are as a mother now.
It did. It shaped who I was as a young adult and has definitely shaped who I am as a mother. And by the way, there is something to be said about she's a really great Mimi. She's like the best Mimi she's ever been. I am jealous in many ways that my kids get
see that side of her
in this way. Because I'm like, wow, that's cool. I wish she would do that with me.
You turned out fine. I think you're okay. I think everything's good.
Everything is fine.
The dots connect.
Correct.
So I'd like to talk a little bit about like being so busy in your industry.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, you know, sometimes on this podcast, we talk about how like being so busy is saying no. Mm-hmm. And being so busy is sacrificing time or not being social at times. But like in your industry, it's highly competitive.
You're the opposite end.
Highly, yeah. Highly competitive. Yeah. If you are not social, if you are not exerting yourself and doing this type of energetic exertion, then you are behind.
Correct.
So how are you able to do that in such a competitive market?
So first of all, I just can't handle how smart and with it the word is, soul busy. And
thank
then
you.
The definition is so perfect. You know, how do you fuel yourself in the most impactful and self-care-like way? That's how
right.
I say it in my brain. And so it's interesting because if you're not asking yourself these questions, you're probably not getting to the root of how you can be your best version.
Mm-hmm.
And so you hit it on the nail in that, you know, this industry is oversaturated. There's a million different agents. So what am I doing differently that people would want to choose me? And not just once, but repeatedly. Because again, I'm not looking to have transactions. I'm looking to have long-term relationships with my clients and their families and their siblings and whomever else, right? So that's how I approach every deal. The other option is that I get on the phone and call people all the time. I don't want to do that. Instead, I would rather just have really authentic relationships or dinners or going outs with them. And I feel like that produces way more business for me. But more importantly, I just am better at it. So I had to
look at- It's how you like to network.
It's how I like to network. Yeah. It's just not going to be me hitting the phone being like, hi, how are you? How's it going? Do you need to buy or sell real estate this week, this month, this year? It just doesn't feel-
Authentic.
To me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So instead, what feels authentic to me is to share my life as much as I can so people can realize I'm actually just a regular person like them, mm-hmm. feeling the same feelings that they probably have, fighting the same fights with their kids or husbands that they're probably doing. I want to make it as relatable as possible because it is true. And I think that a lot of social media is fake.
Oh, yeah.
And people actually don't like that. They don't want that.
They don't want polished.
They just want to know what's going on with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree.
But in terms of how I'm working and how I'm being so busy in my efforts, everything has to be thoughtful and impactful and intentional.
Every action in your day and your schedule. Yeah, it's interesting because you always post about how like you have your menu for the week,
yes.
which I think is very soul busy. I think it's soul busy to be planned. Yes. I'm not always. Sometimes it's nice to flow too. Yes. But I do think it's interesting. Like you, Mian writes out like a menu for the week of like what's being served for breakfast and what's being served for dinner. Do you stick to that?
I stick to it.
That's great.
So people are like, oh my gosh, how do you do it? No, I'm not awesome. I do it because I'm massively controlling. And I know if I don't have a plan for these people, then we will have pizza on Monday, Chinese on Tuesday.
Well, then you take out on Wednesday,
and then I'm being mad. I don't want to be mad.
Right.
I want, and I also can't be then mad that they're eating crappy if I'm not providing.
Exactly.
So I need to like, I have to own some of the triggers.
You're responsible.
Correct.
Yeah. I relate to that very much.
You know, I love that though. Cause you're saying, you know, you'd be annoyed with it, but you're being proactive and planning.
Correct.
And it looks fancy and fun, but really it's just a trigger for you.
It's
really,
just it's a trigger. Strategic yeah. is yeah. really it's what it comes down
strategy.
To.
Strategy.
Yeah. And I want them to also get used to, you know, we didn't fly. We weren't like, what are we eating? We know what we're. So I want them to take some of these to their new lives, to their families, to the way they operate when they go to college. I don't know. Like, I don't think that's a horrible idea to get a feel for what you're going to eat. Like almost everything that we do is there's at least one meatless day and there's at least one fish day. Because my kids will eat pasta every day and that's not great for them either.
I like it. You're subconsciously like kind of teaching them as you go. Yeah.
Interesting.
Love that.
Do you ever get sick of being social? Like, is it ever
all
like,
the time.
Yeah,
all the time.
You're good at faking it though.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You really are. Like it's, I find I thought your answer was very impressive. Like I could not do what you, I could, I would probably could, be great at it,
yes,
but my would. Life would have to look really differently.
Yeah.
In like the way it's formatted. It's just, I don't know. It's, I give you a lot of credit because you, in order to remain relevant, you have to network and you can't ever stop. And that exertion of going to social events, like after hours is, and looking hot, you know what I mean? Having self-care and like having your makeup done. Like you, I feel like what you do really well is you have your people.
Yes.
And you have things set up well. Like, you know, your makeup artist you can mm-hmm. go to, you have your things, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
I mean, you hit it on the nail. I don't think you can achieve any kind of massive success without having a tribe, having your board of directors. I have friends that they're on my joint text chain. It's called the Tribunal. I can't make any really big decision in my life without all of them approving. You get it.
Same.
And then in similarly to having a home, you get your people, you get your vendors, you get your contractor that you always call, you get your plumber that you always have, you get on a heating system thing so that they always come and check on you. Similarly to my life, if I want to be able to do everything and be everything and amazing everywhere, I need to have people who are good at those things.
You have your like directory.
You have a well-developed network.
And you're strict for, you're like almost like a, you're not BNI, but like you have your whole like little, what is it? Like network that you always go to and you don't change.
My same people and I don't change.
Yeah.
I never change.
I like that though, because that means that you actually believe that they're great.
I believe
that if you're constantly changing, then.
Yeah, I believe that they're great. And I'm like, great, you've already shown me that you can handle me or do me or take care of me or make me look gorgeous. There's no way I'm leaving. Why? It's like, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
But there's also a certain level of like of partners in business. Like I'll know immediately, like if we bring on a partner, like we recently hired like a team for something for Sleepy Tie and we thought that they were it. And on the first interaction we had, we were like,
no,
whoa, you're not it. And it wasn't like, they were like, well, wait, give us a chance. We were like, no, we can just tell.
Oh yeah, immediately.
There's some factors here that like aren't going to work for us. So and like once, get the fuck out of our face.
100%. Once we're turned off, we were just like, that not is turning
that, that
back
is
on.
Even a big deal because the you being able to say, thank you, this is not the best space for me or the best time for me or the best use of my time is another thing you have to learn and be able to.
It's a learned skill for sure.
It's a learned skill because how many people stay in that spot? Well, we've already started with them. We don't want to hurt their feelings. Well, but like it goes back to that you have to be confident enough to start again and say, this is just not the best thing for me right now.
Yeah. I think confidence, but also like sometimes being a bitch, like you can be a bitch in a nice way. We call boundaries. It like velvet hammer boundaries, yes. Whatever you want to call it. But like sometimes the answer is just going to be no in business, and that's okay. You know, correct. Just like your previous husband, it wasn't that he did anything wrong. It just right. wasn't the right fit.
Correct.
So it's just like knowing that in business, I think is part of being soul busy, but also being successful.
Yeah. And that's also protecting yourself.
Absolutely.
You have to protect yourself. And by the way, the blowouts that I get weekly here, everyone's like, I can't believe you do that. It's not that I can't do my hair. Number one, I can't as good as I get it done here. That's why I come here. But also I work the entire time. So I am actually doing two things at once. And that's makes me better at my job.
Oh, yeah. Let me point something out to you. And like maybe others don't feel this, but I fully look at my hair appointments, not just because I own a salon, yeah. as work.
100%.
It is my work to look good, to feel good. I notice a major difference in my ability to function as a human when I don't like the way I look. Carly laughs at me like in the cape. They're like, who are you getting dressed for right mm-hmm. now? Mm-hmm. And she answered it the other day. I heard her say it. She's like, she's doing it for herself because she understands that. And yeah. if I am not doing that for myself, I can't perform at work. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I think that that's a portion of it. Oh yeah,
someone was like, she's doing it for Mike. I was like, definitely not. I was like, definitely. I mean, she likes to look good. She's always had that in her being though. Like she'd always like have the perfect outfit. Like I always joke, we'll go on vacation.
That's not true.
No, that is true.
You like to be put together.
Yeah, you like to be put together.
I do like to be put together.
I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm saying I'm jealous of that. Like I don't have, me and mom, not that we don't like to look good. I just don't have that. Like I'll wear biker shorts. This girl will come out with like Free People set. I'm like, can you get out?
Well, I think it's just bringing it back around. Self-care is part of my work schedule. Yeah. I book out mani-pedi is like when I have childcare for that reason. Like, and I do work during those times too, but like there is some clarity in getting things done during those types of appointments.
Yeah. And I started saying, what can I do that achieves 2 to 3 things at once?
I love that. Multitasking.
Yeah. So I would start taking my clients or my referral partners to the pedi place. Smart. We would be able to also have our business meeting.
Interesting. That's so funny. I do that with meditation 100%.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Combining.
Or I'd say, I need to work out. I haven't walked yet, but two of my clients, I sold a house in my neighborhood. I'm going to text them and say, do you guys want to go for a walk after dinner? Now I get to talk to two of my clients, best clients again. I
love that approach.
I get to check off that we get to walk. We talk about everything but real estate because it doesn't matter anymore. I just want to see how you're doing. And right, by the way, I want to tell you what sucks about my life.
Right.
And I want you to tell me, oh, you know what? Then you should do this and this. There's so much growth.
Like friendship.
In sharing your friendship. Life.
Yeah, it's just being real. Like, I think there's so many different ways to network. Like, Mike's a financial advisor and he does not like sales, right? So like, you could look at that role as sales, but like, he's identified for himself that like, he does not want to be at networking events and it's not for him. So like, you have to find a different path that works for you to network, whatever that path is, you have to kind of shape it around your life. So like, I like that you're incorporating that in. I also like that you're saying, cause he finds this very frustrating in his industry. The way people network is by like talking about their like finances or like fake personal conversation, which I think really irritates him because it's like super phony.
Right.
And I love that you're saying like, we're going for a walk, but like, we're not talking business because it just doesn't always need to be the forefront of the conversation. It can just be like, how's your fucking dog?
How's your dog? How's your life? Oh, I saw that you were running ragged yesterday. What happened? Oh, blah, blah, blah. Like,
but authentically.
100%. Yeah. People want to do business with people they like. Everybody knows that, right? So then you take it a step further. People only want to share with you what's happening in their life if they feel that you're a safe space to hold it for them.
Yeah.
And so
it's a very big investment, what they're doing with you. I mean, it's like the biggest of their life probably.
And it's not just, I want to get you a great house. It's not just, I want to get you a great deal. It's that I really want you to feel like she's a safe space for me to land if I'm not awesome.
I think that's part of it. And that's like the building relationships, but like knowing how the process is, like working with you is also super important though, because that's why we're always like, we used to say this, like, don't hire your cousin to take your headshots. Like,
yeah.
Something I really respect about your process is it's super professional, regardless about how funny, humorous, we can go get coffee together, that kind of vibe. But like getting the paperwork, making sure any questions that I have are answered, making sure Joe feels comfortable because he doesn't know you, and like explaining that to him. We had questions about things that I would never know that I didn't learn. There's no like real estate class.
No class.
Like there's no class.
So, you don't know shit until you go through it.
Yeah. Even when you're even doing mortgage, like you knew stuff about that. Like the part of the process, yes, friendship, but also like when you're getting down and dirty and we are making that transaction, You need to know your shit.
So and I would agree very much.
You know your shit.
I care less personally about the friendship or the relationship. Like that's the way I am with sales. I don't actually want that. Yeah. Like I love you, but like I don't need that to give you the business. What I was impressed with you is the time you take to invest with the hustle when you don't even know you're getting the sale yet. Like, for example, while I liked you and you had come to Beauty Parlor, you know, you hadn't known Mike. Mike and I were in you know, a place where we were like, do we want to buy a home? Do we not? Can we afford this? Can we not? You know, I was building a business. He was building a business. We were broke as fuck. You know, we like want a slab ranch. Like this was a big deal for us. But to you, very small home you're selling, right? Like you sell multi-million dollar mansions.
Yeah.
We're like talking about like a $300,000 home, you know, but you're still giving me the same light of day.
Yeah.
You never know what the next home is that that person's going to buy. Your approach to that though was meet me at Starbucks, right? And you met us there and you laid out an education for us very simply of like what, this is what it will look like.
100%.
And then we began the process.
Absolutely. You can't just be fun and funny and cutie and give good gifts. You have to actually...
And be hot.
Yeah. You can't just be a smoke show. You have to actually have some substance.
Who's the smoke show? I'm just kidding.
All of
I'm
us.
Kidding.
And so, yeah, there. I gotta. You can't just walk. You got to talk. Walk the walk and talk the talk.
Yeah.
And there's no. There's constantly... something in my head that says you need to do better. You need to be better. You need to work your ass off. It doesn't ever turn off for me. And I take that, by the way, I've not always had money. So everybody's house is my favorite house. My most important sale, no matter the price point. I've had so many people be like,
respect.
Oh my God, I did not know that you, why? I love all of the processes because I actually love the first time homeowners most because that's their first house.
Right.
They'll never not forget that house. And how they got in it.
I will never forget that house that you got me. Remember I went through the window of that house to look at it before the open house? Like I broke in.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I never felt that from you either though.
Yeah.
Like whatever house purchase I made now is going to be different than what I make when I have a full family. It's just not going to be in the same, but you never made me feel lesser.
No. Like, and to your point, Rach, like I think that where a lot of agents right now aren't getting it is that they take away the educational piece and they do this other pizzazz and, oh, I'll get you this and the other. If you cannot explain the process to your clients and absolutely have an answer for every possibility of questions that they have, then you're not the right person for them. I'm going to tell you stuff that might happen, the three ways we're going to deal with what it might happen and how we're going to be okay on the other side. I'm going to talk about the contingencies and what you should do and what you should not drop. I'm going to talk about things that have worked in the past and things that might work in the future. There's got to be someone who's quarterbacking the entire process or else everyone is just the blind alien.
Well, I had a close friend that was working with a friend who was their real estate agent. And she was like, didn't come to the showings, like didn't really set them up. Like, and I was like, literally stop talking. Like, I'm not going to talk to you. Like, just use me on.
Yeah.
And she and her husband used you, you sold in their house and they've never been happier. And I was like, compare.
Yeah.
Like it's an astronomical
service.
Difference
it's
because
service.
The service you showed up right away. There was like a million offers on that house. You got them the house.
Right.
And literally all I said was Mion will get you the house. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah. And the truth is that like at the end of the day, all that matters is that your client is happy and gets what they want.
Absolutely.
In all industries.
Literally.
Well, so that's why I'm saying
the
I
bullshit,
will never not go here. Yeah. It's like the same way. You know, when you sit down in a chair and you know immediately that the blow dry is going to suck.
Oh, 100%.
We I've gotten up. I've been like, thank you,
I can tell from the wash.
Yes.
From the wash.
Ooh, that's good.
You don't scrub my head within fucking tension. It's
right.
not going to go.
If you don't
go,
get
it's
in
not,
there.
Get in there. I have really dirty roots. Like, I need you to scrub
I
me.
I don't do lazy.
Scrub me twice.
I'm not doing lazy. I can't
I
do
pretty
it.
Much, that's like, true. Can't breathe when I see someone doing a non-section blow dry on the floor. Like, I literally, there's no text that comes faster than me being like, you're not sectioning that blow. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a kinky piece in the back. Like, no. All right. Struggles. Tough industry.
Yes.
Tough industry. Like, what is a struggle that you have in your world? Because what I do want to say this, I think sometimes your industry is like a fallback for people. Like, they're like, oh, this didn't work out, so I'm going to become a realtor, which I like don't get that. Like, you know what I mean? Because you have to really be educated and it has to be intentional. But so like, what's a struggle for you like in this field?
Well, it kind of was a fallback for her though.
No, I think it wasn't.
No?
She was young enough that it wasn't.
No, I mean, I started real estate like when I was 23.
Okay. But like when you went to college, you weren't like, I'm going to be a real estate agent.
No, no. And I don't know a bunch of people who were there in college are like, I'm going to be a real estate agent. So I think that you just decide what kind of skills you have and you see if that they work and plug you and play.
Pit it. Totally.
Yeah. And it just so happens that this is, you know, I have, there's realtors who are attorneys. There's realtors, who, you know, so they've done something else and then now they're doing it. You're exactly right. There's a million people who that's their second job or that's a fallback. So the first thing I tell people is this is my full-time job. And this is what I've been doing full-time for
There is no side hustle. I fucking hate the word side hustle.
Any person I know who does a side hustle of real estate always stops.
Yeah,
I feel.
Of course, because they're not able to do it correctly.
What is a side hustle?
You can't have blow dry my hair. How can you hustle on the
side?
Please stop saying side hustle all.
How can you hustle on the side?
You know, you can't just half do anything. In my life or in my world, that really bothers me, right? So you just got to do it 100%, and that means all the way. The other challenges or struggles that I have is that because it is so saturated, everyone thinks they can do your job.
Right, right.
Which is true.
Or because of the internet, the client could think that they potentially know more.
The client thinks anybody can do your job 100%. That would piss me the hell off.
The client thinks they know more than you often. The client, because they're smart. I mean, remember, we're also in Boston.
You're dealing with money.
We have a lot of smarty parties here. We got a lot of smart people from Harvard to MIT.
Smarty parties.
Well, it's debatable if those individuals are smart. But they think they are.
Yeah, they totally think they are. And definitely. So they're like, well, you know, I have I have three masters in, you know, quantum physics. So I should know.
So I know everything.
How to write this offer. I'm like, Nope, not going to work, right?
So I don't even think I looked at my offer. I was like, you got it? Like, what?
I definitely didn't look at my offer. Mike did.
But you know what? I also, when I come and sit down in this chair, I'm always going to keep linking it back to you guys. They go, what do you want to do? I go, I don't know. You tell me. Because you are the professional. I am not.
But that's also sales.
Like, I know what I need and want. You know how to accomplish it for me. I trust you.
Yeah, but that, when really you good. Put it Thank back you. Into the client's hand, to me, that's sales. And like the smartest salesperson, because it's like, all right, here's the information. Mm-hmm. Now you spit back to me what you want.
Right.
Because you can only do so much. You're not here to make magic happen.
Correct.
It's just like, what are you looking for? So like, I get that that would be challenging.
It's not your fucking house.
It's not my house.
It has nothing to do with you other than you're guiding. You're the leader.
You are the liaison.
The liaison
between what they want and what you can achieve. And you just have a skill set that you can apply to help them.
And you know what's really, I think lately, over the past 5 years, my clients have been way more and more frustrated that I'm not telling them what to do. Because it's so frustrating out there. And I never will. I cannot and I will never.
I don't think it's
you
your place.
Would. It's not my place and I don't want to do it.
You would if someone said, I want this house. It's my end all be all. Give me the offer that I need to do. You'd be like, okay, go cash. Oh, wave the inspection.
But that's still just an option, right? If they said to me, Mian, I want this house more than anything. What do I have to do? I'm going to tell you exactly what you'd have to do to win it. But that doesn't mean I'm going to tell you to do it. I'm just going to tell you how you can win it. That may mean dropping.
You're
this
not a financial advisor. No way. You're just the genius of real estate.
No way, Jose.
All right, cool. So I have some questions.
Yes. Me too.
Tell me some juicy ass shit you've seen in houses. Like I want to see I want to hear the dirty, gross like stories.
I've gone to final walkthroughs where
I'm so excited.
I've gone to final walkthroughs where the home should be empty, right? You have a final walkthrough right before you're closing. And the house was empty for a while because it was like an investor home. But in the time since we went to purchase and sale until when we closed, some squatters had come in and started living in the basement.
As in like homeless?
Yes.
That is my biggest fear. That's and that's crazy. Sad.
It is sad.
So that's cool. The other one that's not ideal.
Is it illegal to tell them to leave?
I didn't know if they were going to come at me with like a pick saw. So I just was like, we're out of here. And I called my attorney. That's always what I do. ASAP.
What's a pick saw?
Something not good. Something gross.
Yeah. We don't want a pick saw.
Yeah. So another one is, this was like a second or third showing for a really big house on the North Shore. And the agent was like, I can't meet you there, but you're all set. Here's the code, blah, blah, blah. I went with my client. And we were going into one of the rooms that was seemed closed, but she said it's vacant. It was the husband with another woman.
No.
Yes.
Wow.
And I go, oh my.
Oh my.
Okay.
Oh
and I closed the door. Because I already met the sellers earlier, so I knew that wasn't Linda or whatever her name was.
Linda.
That's been okay. Walking in on random people who should not be in the home for sure. I found like au pairs. I'm going to call her au pair, but I'm guessing she was just like a babysitter from another country, like stuck in a basement closet. That's where they set her up to live.
What?
that's not really right. So
what did you do about that one? Wellesley.
Please tell me you called the police.
No, I was just like, is this somebody's room? And the other,
you found a woman in a
like a twin bed in a closet, and she had like a little place like where she had her little knickknacks, and like
she had no windows,
no windows.
Really weird.
Yeah, I've seen so many weird, like,
what about like hoarders?
Oh, I've seen hoarders.
Yeah,
I've seen hoarders, and I really can't do it. Hoarders are gross. Itch. It makes me
No. Hoarders are a psychological like disorder. Let's have some compassion.
Oh,
it's definitely like a mental. No, it's good to educate because if you don't know, you don't know. But I think people have like a compulsion where they like cannot.
They can't let it go.
Let it go.
Sometimes I do that though.
I think this is like a different level of hoarding.
No,
you can see hoarders like in their car.
Yes.
Like have like a problem. Like I've seen them on the road.
I want to talk about like your kids. Yes. Like you're like, how do you juggle like this busy, busy, busy schedule, social events, all these things and be like a great mom?
So I think I am very clear about my priorities. They are number one. Creating an incredible life and continuing to give them an incredible life is number one. And then everything else is really after that. And so that means when I talk to my clients, I communicate with them. Yep, I can chat with you. And I talk with my clients at all hours of the night. You know, a lot of people have a 9-to-5 business. That's not what real estate is. It's not Monday through Friday. Sometimes Saturdays are my Mondays.
When you work for yourself, 9-to-5 doesn't exist.
Ever.
So like not ever.
So, but I'm crystal clear with my clients about when I'm available, when I'm not. And sometimes that is, I'm in a meeting and guess what my meeting is? I'm at the soccer field for Luca. And that's important. And I'm not going to be able to talk to anybody for any minutes, you know, during that time. But I'm a stickler and I'm a type A in all parts of my life, including the schedule. So every Sunday we sit down, me, Jeff, and our nanny, and we go through the schedule for all three kids and what they have to do for this upcoming week. Every Sunday, we've done that for 10 years.
And so a nanny is crucial to you.
For me, a nanny is impossible without a nanny for me to do what I do because there's too many children.
Same.
It's very man on man. Okay. I need someone to help me at all times to make sure they're okay because I have to go out and work.
I saw this girl on Instagram. She was saying like women who like have a career and want to be a mother, like have to have like people that can help them to make this possible. It's just, it's a challenging thing because at some point portions of you need to be like filled in.
Right. And where do you pick and choose what gets filled in and when, you know, when can you, you know, delegate that to someone else? And when can you say, I have to stop this other thing and I've got to go do that myself. So I have a meal plan. I say, I can give you the meal plan and I can give you the list, but I need you to go buy the groceries.
Yep.
So that's how I do it.
You pick and choose.
I pick and choose. I need you to start dinner, but I finish it so I can plate it so that they know that I'm making it for them. But sometimes I can't. And then on the days that I can't, everyone's crock-potting it.
No like, guilty. So, no
I
guilt.
Think that's totally no fine.
Guilt.
I respect
no
it,
No guilt
honestly.
Involved. It's just you're doing, like we said at the beginning, the best you can in every moment.
It's funny. When you have kids, you like don't realize how much more work. It's like another full-time job added onto your plate.
1,000,000%.
It's insane. A full-time job times 10.
It's insane.
Because you don't stop thinking about them. You don't stop thinking about, could I have done this better? Not in a guilty way, just like, how can I improve for my children? How can I improve for my life? It's pressure.
Do you instill this like work ethic in your kids? Like, is that important to you? Like, is that something they see from you, ask you questions about?
Yeah, I mean, I'm constantly trying to show them. So when I'm not here, this is what I'm doing. And this is how it's really important to all of us. So if I'm ever written up or anything, we should talk about it together. What does it matter? Like
when I'm written up, I bring it to the dinner table.
That's right.
It's laminated.
That's right.
And we discuss how great mom is.
Wow, mom. And we celebrate.
It's a family. I honestly, 100%. I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, because I remember the one time on your social, like Sophia, I guess, wanted her perfume.
Yes.
And I was like, Mian, buy her the perfume. And yes. You were like, no.
No way.
And I was like, I want to understand why. And you were like, she can get it herself.
100%.
And I had a lot of respect for that because I really think it's funny. Like
I will make sure that is something I instill in my children.
Because I worked at 14 at Stop and Shop. I didn't care where I worked.
Oh, me too. I loved it.
I want my kids to work for the dollar.
And I got fired.
I want them to work for the dollar.
I got fired because I was texting through a plastic bag. My boyfriend was texting.
Not was through a plastic bag.
I'm not going to, we don't name names here. Anywho.
That's amazing. Yes, I worked also. I worked the minute I could get a work permit. I could not wait to work. I wanted to buy my stuff. I wanted to be in charge. I wanted to do it all.
I find great satisfaction in being an independent woman.
Yeah.
I will never and don't ever and won't ever ask Mike,
can I buy this?
That's right.
I will not.
That is a sin. I will never ask.
If anyone,
well, no, hold on a second. How many people do.
Hold on a second. It's okay. And I have no judgment. If you are in a financial situation where it, I think that the overhanging and arching topic here is, what do you want your life to look like? And you should design your life to be that.
Oh,
do you wanna,
definitely.
Do you want to work four days? Do you want to be a career woman? Are you trying to build a business? Do you want to be a real estate mogul? Do you not want to work? All of it is accepted and fine.
100%.
It's and like I, with no judgment, I think it's just more like, what do you want?
If you choose to be a stay-at-home mom and then who your significant other is the going to work and the breadwinner, to me though, like, and if that was me and Joe's situation, like I would want his money to be mine in my situation.
I think that would be, I think that that's probably challenging for some people 100%. Because like there's like ownership and like egos around money. But I think for me, I'm only speaking to myself personally. And I think for us three, we probably feel the same. I like to be able to make decisions on my money and I like to be able, I like to be independent. And I like Mike's money too.
Sure.
That's wonderful money, but like, it's not something I rely on.
Yeah, and specifically for moms of daughters, and I know you can get behind it, is I really want to instill that in them. Like, yes,
absolutely.
It's amazing and wonderful for you to find somebody who's just as excited about working and motivated too, but it doesn't much matter what they have. It only matters what you have, what you bring to the table. It's great if they can add to it. It doesn't matter if you don't need to need from anybody but yourself.
If you are only solely reliant on another individual, I find risk in that. If it didn't work out, shields up, cancel clear for anyone listening. But then like what, you got to have
what's
something
your plan?
That you, but I think also just from a purpose perspective, you know, I think it's, and I'm not saying have a job. I'm saying it could be a hobby, but just something that you're super passionate about that you could lean on in some scenario, you know?
I want to transition to something that might be like a controversial topic. I am unsure. But right now everyone's saying like the market's tough or it's hard to buy a house or the rates are super high or there's no inventory. You don't seem like that's an issue for you. I'm interested to know what your opinion is on that.
So, I mean, all of those statements are true. And I would say, and what, you know, how does that and really, what?
We're
right?
back.
We're back. Like, I guess I'm so less worried about the surroundings and the environment and more worried about what is our goal and how can we achieve it? It's never going to be perfect. So if people need to buy a home, we need to work with the parameters that we are given to get them into those homes, right? So yeah, the interest rates are higher than people have been used to. But when they were low, you didn't have enough money to buy. So here we are, right? Or whatever the situation is. So I just don't give any energy or I don't give any worry to what could have been. I only want to worry about what we can do now to make it better.
The present.
The present, yeah. So yes, the inventory is lower. Specifically in Massachusetts, there's just no land. So therefore we are not growing with homes because there's no place to build them. So that means we're only using what has already been built.
Current inventory.
And the current inventory, nobody is moving as much because they are all locked into the lower interest rate. So think about it. If I have a 3% interest rate, you know how hard it's going to be for me to double my interest rate to go to another house?
Right.
So why would I move?
Right.
So then when you don't move, then I don't get inventory.
Right.
My buyers who want to buy, right? So it's a domino effect.
So what do you do? Like when somebody wants a house, but there's like, they you can't find that, like they just stay put. Like how do you
Well, it depends.
Navigate?
We get really clear on what they want in a home. Right. And so it depends. If you have twins coming and they're coming in 6 months, then maybe the 3-car garage isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
That was my scenario.
You kind of like
really
sacrifice.
Pregnant.
Like you just
couldn't find anything.
You just got to, it's not even to me. I don't even like using that word sacrifice. I want to say we are choosing different things. We are conceding on certain things and we are agreeing to other things.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I
because
get that.
I don't want you to feel negative about it. At the end of the day, if you buy, end up buying
sometimes
a
sometimes sacrifice to me is not. Negative.
And I agree. And I agree. And this,
she concurs.
I concur. Most buyers are just so upset with the market that they just feel everything is negative and they're not wrong to feel that way. So step one is for me to hold space for them and say, you're right. And I know this sucks. And I'm sorry, even though it's not my fault. Right. So I am sorry. This is a really tough time to buy. But the good news is I'm amazing. And we're going to get you into a great house, which
Do
is the goal.
You see people still like dishing out cash right now.
Oh, yeah.
Like a lot of cash offers.
There's cash.
I find that fascinating.
It's wild.
How many people have cash on hand.
Isn't it crazy?
Like that's fascinating to me. I'm like,
and it
wow.
goes from every, it goes from small to millions.
Oh yeah.
And a lot
because
of
because if you are putting cash down like that, that means you have a shit ton more cash.
Absolutely.
I'm fascinated by that.
Yeah.
And remember
it's,
we
and
lost that house.
From? Yeah.
I didn't listen
else.
To you on the offer.
No, you did.
We didn't go as
we
high
didn't go as, high as, we,
as you said to go
yeah.
and we didn't get it and it
yeah.
sold for the price you said.
Yeah.
So if we listened, but I'm glad we didn't because I'm
too.
Happy.
Me
like
too.
It all happens for a reason, but you know,
yes,
it is what it is.
It is what it is. And that's another piece. Obviously nobody knows when I tell them it all's going to, you know, our house is out there, it all happens for a reason, they're still on the, but I wanted that one. And that's the way you should feel, right? But so it's organizing and managing everyone's emotions, because buying a house is super emotionally charged.
It is.
While also being extremely good at your job so that you don't make them buy from emotion and you make a good investment for them.
I was literally just going to say, I think I told you 10 houses were my house. I was like, man, this is the house. This is the house.
Oh, I was moving into 70 different houses we found.
It's an emotional process, because it's like it could be someone's first, whether having a child, their first time they're living with their spouse, their first time they're owning something that's theirs that they work so hard for. It's a very emotional thing people are doing.
Yeah.
And you also want them to get the best house they possibly could. Right. But you know what? That's a challenge though, Mian. Like I respect the way you look at it, because it's definitely not easy.
Well, it's also a challenge though, because if you think about it, to this person, like I love to look at perspectives and zone out. Like to this individual, that is the biggest and most important action in their life. Presently, probably the biggest anxiety or stress, something they're thinking about constantly. So you are essentially not used, but like you're a punching bag for emotions that are going up and down for that individual that's making the biggest decision of their life, right?
Right.
But you have about what? How many people at any given time doing that with you at the same time?
It's a hard job.
It is a lot to juggle.
Which is why I love the soul busy concept, because if I am not truly soul busy, I would be done in a minute.
Oh, you'd be... I'm buried. Done in a minute. You'd be buried.
Do you find that a lot with your peers? Like maybe not necessarily people at the Wilson Group, but like other real estate agents you might network with, like they just can't handle the stress, the pressure. Like,
I just don't think they take on as many people, and their processes are not as thorough as ours.
Really high volume.
Yeah.
Is that what makes you better? Would you say it's, forget about like the service, the experience, the care, like is it that you are experienced? Mm-hmm. Like, do you think that plays a big role? Like that you are now like an elder in your field?
Yeah, I think it's definitely experience. I think it's connections and who you know, because a lot of real estate is who you know and what, and if they like you the most, because everyone's writing a really nice offer.
See, right. That's something I recently was talking to somebody about. Like, it's not just about what you know about real estate, it's who you know. You know the back channels of people. Yes. So like, let's say you're in a scenario and you want to buy this house, and like, let's say you know the agent or you networked with them, you can pull that string.
100%.
And that matters. Like that, you are using your connections, which is why you can never stop networking, and you have to go to the fucking event and you got to go. Like, it's like, you got to go.
You got to go, because I don't know that one cocktail talk that I have with that other person that I never would have met before is going to mean when I call them in 3 months, oh my gosh, hi, blah, blah, blah. Remember when we met at blah, blah, blah. So good to see your name on this one again. Do me a favor. Let me know how many offers you're at. And if you think writing a 951 would even get it done.
Right.
Whatever.
Exactly.
Right. And so, yeah, those are those connections and the relationships you make. And that's why I'm having dinners, not just with my clients, but with my competition on purpose. Because I want us to all break that down and say, no, let's all just try to help each other.
I like that.
I don't
get. Beautiful.
Yeah, I don't,
that's
get
poetic.
That. Nice little bow.
I don't get that. People don't like that.
What's your advice? Like, I have some friends that were like looking for a house, they couldn't find it. And then I have another friend who like looked at two houses, bought it, and like is fine. The other person's still looking. Like, I think it has to do with competitive offers. Yep. Frankly, I mean, like if you really want the house, then you got to go fucking hard and like give it. Mm-hmm. Also have to be realistic. Like, what's your advice for a first time home buyer who's in this market right now? Outside of remaining positive.
I'm definitely remaining positive, but getting really clear on what you want in this home, how long you're going to be in it, and how you see yourself using it. If this is your first home, then I help my buyers understand that it may not have every single thing you want, including granite up the walls and incredible 5-inch hickory floors everywhere. That might be in your second or third house. You know, it might have a small patio, not a fully fenced in backyard. I'm not sure. There are things that we can do that will make your house better. And then there are things that we can't do, like pick up the house and move it to a location that you want.
I think that's a very, you know, it's funny. A lot of your answers today have almost everything to do with where do you want to go?
Always.
Everything. Like, where do you want to go in your career? Where do you want to go as a mother? Where do you want to go this year? Where do you want to go this week? Where do you want to go this day? Where do you want to go with this house?
Like being inquisitive with yourself.
Being inquisitive, but starting with the end goal.
Yes.
Right? Because I do agree with you that matters. Like, because if this is not your end all home, then you can make the decision of what you're willing to sacrifice.
Correct.
And if it's not a forever, then okay,
well, then what am I willing to sacrifice?
But also know that going into it. Like, right. I loved working with you because I knew, I was like, nope, not doing this. Yep, totally fine. I bought a shithole.
Right.
And turned it into a beautiful home. Oh my God,
my first house was a shithole.
And I'm still working on it. But like, I knew that I going into it, that was what I was looking for.
Right.
And I wasn't going to look for this perfect property and be like, Mian, I'm buying that. Like, I need granite countertops. Like,
it's a game.
Being realistic.
It's a game.
It is. It really is.
But somebody needs to be prompting you as the client to be like, I know you said you want granite. Tell me why. So people tell me all the time, I really want a big backyard. And my first question is, okay, tell me why.
It comes back to education is really what it comes down to. Because like somebody could be like, I get it in their head. They really want marble. Mm-hmm. You know, like I was like, I'm a marble girly. Like I want marble. And my mom's like, okay, well, marble's not practical because if you put a fucking hot pan on marble, your marble's shit. So you just ruined the marble. So she was like, you want quartz.
She just did that to or whatever, me too.
You know? So it's like, I think that education piece is super important.
Yeah. And knowing your stuff.
You have to educate yourself. And if you have a great real estate agent, they can educate for you.
Correct.
Because I didn't want to learn. I didn't want to research. I'm not fucking looking like you bitch do that for me.
That's right.
And you did.
I did.
You did. And you do. And you continue to.
Yeah. No, you're talented. You really are. I think what I really love about this episode is we gave practical tips about many different industries that you're in. It's kind of just like about the hustle. You can just apply that to anything. I'm really proud of like of your accolades and where you're at in your career, but I'm also really grateful for me because I feel like I get to really use your skill set constantly.
Well, thank you. I'm so grateful that you guys exist because for me, I feel like I think game recognized game. I think you guys have been very much a front runner in the space that you're in, but also as women and as CEOs and COOs. I just don't think there are enough of us out there who are showing everyone how it's done correctly.
Well, actually, that's interesting. Is there a lot of male real estate agents that you feel, or like, is it like a woman dominated?
I think there are probably more women real estate agents, but that doesn't mean that they're good, right? You know what I mean? Like,
true.
I think the men who are in real estate.
Men in the city more often.
There's a good amount of men. And the men, so here's the thing. I love most of the agents who I have to work with and or against. The problem is that I don't love them enough to let them beat me.
Right.
So
you're competitive.
I love you. We'll dap each other up. Let's have a glass of Sancerre, but I will win.
I love Sancerre.
I go across the table.
I love that because I turned you on to super fucking competitive. I understand.
I love Sancerre, by the
way. I understand.
One thing I wanted to ask is like, how far will you go? Like, what is your geographic distance?
So, I mean, I always say I'm from Southie to Southborough, you know, let's say the whole Pike area, mm-hmm. but I've sold every single place. So for instance, I have a listing that's going to be closing soon in Wenham, which is all the way up there in the North Shore.
I don't know where Wenham
is.
What
the fuck is Wenham?
And then I have a gorgeous single family home that's coming on in Newburyport, which is almost by Plum Island.
I love Newburyport.
I did a wedding in Newburyport once.
So beautiful.
Yeah. So many Massachusetts towns.
I've sold people's houses in the Cape because they're like, oh my God, we accidentally ran into something.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry.
Which is fine. But it's like, no, there's not. So I always joke, I'm not rich enough to say no yet. So I don't know. Like, I'm not.
You are you motivated by money? Outside of focusing on it, what is it?
That's I'm motivated by choices. And to me, mm-hmm. I have more choices if I have more money.
I get that.
So I have choices. Like, I could go to Hawaii or I could go to Tahiti. But I only have the choices if I got money.
Right. Understood.
I respect that. I like that answer. It's smart. It's a good answer.
So like, and I, whenever I make choices, especially ones that I would never normally have, I bring my kids in so I can say, this is why I'm doing this. Do you want to understand it? So
that love
they
that.
Understand.
I do that with my toddlers.
Yes.
Because Lily will do the why game with me and she's like, why are you going to work? Why are you going to work? So I will literally pull out a toy and say, bought you this. Mm-hmm. I love that you have it. I think it's fantastic, but it does require money to buy this. And also mama likes to have a purpose.
Absolutely.
And mama likes to go, I like to work. And I tell her that. I'm like, I like to go to work, Lily. Yeah. Like I'm enjoying myself when I'm not here. She's it's so not that cute. I don't miss you, but I really like
I
to
like
work.
I like to work and I love you.
I feel passionate about both.
Right.
And I love to fucking work. Like I literally, I have
the,
what
we do all
the I have time. The perfect balance. I think people are able to fill their time very, very effortlessly.
I'm not.
I don't think it's an issue for individuals.
I'm not. Like I'm saying I'm not able to do that.
For me, I just like love to sit at a round table and have conversation about business. Mm-hmm. Love business talk, you know, like it stimulates my mind.
You love to be intrigued. You love to be, you know, thought. I think thinking around people who have other thoughts is so exciting.
I need to use my brain.
Yes.
Like I have to, like,
I want to challenge my brain. Yes. I really like to be challenged and like writing process is fucking challenging. Like, I love to write process because I love to know that maybe I'm exercising like a muscle that won't give me memory problems. You know what I mean? Like, I think about this shit. I'm not kidding. Like, I'm like, okay, this is helping my future. I will not be a demented elderly person.
All right, Mian, tell us how to contact you if someone is looking for an agent in Boston, and where do you, you already said where you service.
And your social
handles.
So our team social is Wilson Group RE on Instagram and Facebook, and www.wilsongroupre.com. What did I say before that was funny? It was...
My youth.
And then you can also follow me.
What did I say before that was funny?
You remember that one time?
Oops.
You can follow me at MP Laval on Instagram and Facebook if you want. MPLAVALL.
She'll give you her personal cell and you can text her about houses you want to buy.
Yep. 703-626-9046.
You did not just fucking put your cell phone on.
Wow. That's how she does work.
That this bitch just rounded it off with, she's like, yeah, text me.
Text me.
I honestly want to know how many, you guys should text her. Let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens. This will be fun.
Let's see. Let's get the business going.
Thank God I got the unlimited plan.
Thank you for being, does not unlimited even exist anymore?
I don't know. I'm trying to be funny.
Oh, okay. Well, we love you.
Thank you guys.
Thank you so much for being like a day one friend, client.
Love you guys.
Much love forever. Never coming to one of your events. Go fuck yourself. Over and out.
Appreciate you.
Rock out.
Thank you guys. Rock on.